This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
Whether taking a road trip to the beach, heading to the mountains, or driving to the city, summer adventures are nonstop fun in a new Honda. But let's face it, summer trips can really add up. That's why I love the fuel efficiency of Honda. With Honda, you can save your money for other things, like that awesome keychain at the convenience store, that brand new album you wanted, or whatever else your heart desires. New Hondas are arriving daily. See your local Honda dealer and start your summer adventures today.
Want a great way to recognize your employees? Check out Custom Ink. Have you ever thought about doing something special for your customers? Custom Ink can do that too. And wouldn't your team love some custom gear? Custom Ink is ready. Custom Ink is your go-to custom gear partner with great customer service, quality products, and all-in pricing along with personalized help when you need it and an easy-to-use website when you don't. Plus, everything is 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Check out what we can do for your business at CustomInk.com.
Welcome to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and joining me right now is Max Cohen and Jan Chenaeus. This is a special episode of Cottage Talk, as we're going to start turning the page to next season. I know this season is not over yet, but we want to start focusing on the championship right now, just like the club should be doing. So what we're going to be doing in this episode is we're going to be building our clubs for next season. I'm going to put Max and Giannis in the shoes of Tony Khan. What players they want Fulham to keep and be part of the team in the championship. So that's what we're going to do. I have to welcome both of my co-hosts back to the show. First, Mr. Janaeus, how you doing?
Hello. Hello, Russ. Hello, Max. Keeping an eye on the Blue Jays Red Sox game going on here, and the Blue Jays are currently winning. So that's
Did you have to mention this? It's actually, I have it on in the background. Did you have to go there?
Of course I did.
You're a good man, Mr. Janaeus. I'll be right back to you. Mr. Cohen, how you doing?
Doing all right, you know. Another weekend. Fulham didn't play. Fulham didn't lose. That's a net positive for me.
Okay, very good. All right, guys, let's get into this. I wanted to turn the page so we could have a little bit of fun. It's been a terrible season. So let's start with the process of looking forward to next season. And I think it has a potential of being a very good season. Now, we can't predict the players that Tony Khan is going to bring in from the outside, but we can look at the players that are currently with the club and just see if some of these players or many of these players are going to be part of the championship team next season. So let's start at goalkeeper. We do have three goalkeepers. Let's look at all of them. All right, Mr. Janaeus, I'm going to go to you. With those three goalkeepers, I'm going to put you in the shoes of Tony Khan. Which of those goalkeepers would you like to be part of the championship? Now, Rico is on loan, but let me ask you, which of those three would you like to be a part of the championship team next season?
I think probably when he's fit, I'd like to think Betts. Rico, you're right, he's going to go back, and Fabry really didn't answer the bell. So for me, it would be Betts. And of course,
Unless, of course, Tony Khan picks up a starting goalkeeper that can do a better job than Bettinelli does.
Okay.
And that's going to be, you really, what you want to do is just take the best squad you've got going down and then look to improving it. And I'm hoping
that we might
even get another keeper in.
Exactly. And that's where I want to start because, again, they're going to build from this. But I just wanted to look at the players that Fulham currently have and see which players you guys think could be part of the championship team. I agree. I think Sergio Rico is probably going to go back, and I don't know what they're going to do with Fabrice. So right now, I can see Marcus Bettinelli as being your starter. That's the way I'm looking at it. And Mr. Cohen, I know that would make you happy. So your thoughts on the goalkeeper position?
Yeah, this one for me is probably the most clear cut of any decision. Rico is definitely going to go back, and I'll be honest, I don't think he's shown enough consistently to warrant, you know, another year at Fulham. So I think he'll leave, and we won't have him back. Fabry, you know, it's tough. He only played two games, didn't look too great. I don't imagine he wants to play in the championship. So he'll be going. And let's not forget, we also have Rodak coming back on loan. We have Magnus Norman, a youngster who's also impressed. So it's not like we don't have a good some youth players coming through, but I would definitely expect to see Bettinelli being the number one keeper. He's gotten us up in the championship before.
Yes.
I think he's the perfect one to really bring back, you know, what we had last season. Getting him back in between the sticks will be a big boost.
Well, let me ask you this, Max, because Giannis brought up a good point. Talking about being in a potential goalkeeper again during this summer, would you be against them bringing in some competition for Marcus Bettinelli?
I wouldn't be against it. No, I think we just need to bring in the right competition, right? If we brought in a keeper who was better than him clearly and could actually catch the ball and didn't flap at every single corner, you know, no one would say anything about it. We love it. If we bring in better players, that's great. But what we couldn't do is bring in two keepers who are at his level, if not worse than him, which is what we did this summer, I think it's clear to say. So I'm all for competition. I'm all for competition that's going to make our players better and improve the side. But what I'm not for is bringing in players who don't provide a clear, better option and actually probably worse than the side. So it needs to be on the right signing. And I don't think Tony Khan should focus on the keeper this summer. That's not really where the issues lie. If Bettinelli is going
to be. Well, we're going to focus on the defense to begin because this is where we really have. I know, but this is where we have to start, guys. And Giannis, I'm going to go to you. Let's start at right back because I look back at this now and I wanted to say this. I don't think I gave Ryan Fredericks enough credit. I think Fulham were hurt by Fredericks going to West Ham, looking back at it now. So, your thoughts on right back right now, and who would you keep and who would go?
Well, for me, Cyrus Christie is with us. He's contracted to us. So I think that'd be fine. The Fredericks thing, I don't play much stock in because he chose to leave. He could have stayed. He didn't. Fosu Mensah, don't let the door hit you on the way out. Maybe looking at some competition in terms of a defensive-minded right back, I think that would be good. But right as of now, I would like to think that Cyrus Christie would be probably our starting right back next season, and if he is, I'd be fine with that.
So you would be okay if he was the starter?
Yes, I would.
Okay. Do you think that Ryan Sessegnon's brother, Stephen, will get a shot there?
I'm not sure yet. I mean, he could obviously come in and back up. I mean, what's going to be curious in the last five games is what is Scott Parker going to do in terms of bringing the kids in. I do like Christie. I do see him with some redeeming qualities for sure. And there's no guarantee that Ryan Fredericks really would have done any better in the division with us anyway.
Okay.
It's going to depend for me on how they assess the development of the players. And ally that with the available money that's going to come through the parachute, together with the savings we're going to make from the contracts that the Khans and I have to say the Khans have done a very good job, if it's to believe that drops in wages if players get relegated. If they've done that, that's been very, very astute. But I'd like to see a couple of games for Stephen towards the end of the season to see if he's capable of playing at that level. I've heard great things about him. But at the very least, he should be able to be a backup.
Okay, very good. Over to you, Max. Your thoughts on the right back position. Do you agree with Giannis that as of right now, when you're looking at that position going down the championship, the starter could be Cyrus Christie. Let me ask you if that is the case. Is that good enough?
I'm going to say no. You know, I just, even when we're in the championship, Christie couldn't get a game in front of Fredericks. And the one memory I have of him playing was him, you know, not holding onto the ball, losing it against Brentford and letting them go back and score up the other end of the pitch. And that's my only real memory for me. Yeah, sure, he assisted Mitrovic's goal. But as far as I'm concerned, that was his last assist, I think, ever when he's played for Fulham. And one thing you can say about him is in our attacking style of play, we like to get the fullbacks involved. Yep. And he simply just can't put in a cross that's anywhere near serviceable. It's so maddening. I think you guys know I'm not the biggest Christie fan. I think the championship will be a better level for him, but I think we probably need someone better. I'd like to think Steven Sessegnon could probably fill in there a bit, but we need to see more of him, as you guys mentioned, the last five matches of the season. If he plays, gets some minutes, yep, shows some promise, that would be really exciting. So the fullback areas are worries for me. Absolutely. We will probably sign another player, but if Sessegnon can do that, that'd be great. But I'm just a little bit skeptical now because we haven't seen any of him in the first team.
Don't forget Marlon.
Go ahead, Giannis.
I was going to say, Marlon Foster's just come back from the main team.
Yeah,
as well.
Player.
I was just about to mention him, Giannis. Thoughts on Marlon Foster? Does he get a chance?
Well, I mean, I think he'd be more inclined to slot into the right back position, possibly Steven going on the left. But, I mean, Marlon Fosse was very, very much touted. He's been off for several months with an injury, but he's back now. And I think he got his first start at U23 against the Hooped Wonders on the M4 last week.
They beat us,
and,
right? 3-0.
It was good to see him back. And so, you know, that gives food for thought. And remember, it's going to be at least two months with the close season. So I'd like to see what's going to happen with Fosse.
Glad you brought up Marlon Fosse. He's a fascinating player, young player. He could be in the mix as well. So I'm glad that, Giannis, you chimed in there. Right back to you. Here's a very interesting position, left back. Okay. Now, it's very interesting what's going to happen here. Right now, you do have Joe Bryan. Your thoughts at the left back position? Who would you keep at the left back position? Would Joe Bryan be a starter for you going into the championship?
This is going to surprise a lot. I think he would.
Okay.
I do. I thought he was a fine player at Bristol City. I think that's probably his level. It's going to depend on what Scotty Parker does. I'm assuming that Ryan would be playing up front on the left hand side. Steven Sessegnon's obviously an option over there. You've also got Dennis Odoi that you could potentially play there as well.
This is true.
But I would start Bryan. I think he's. It's such a gulf. I mean, the gulf between us and the rest of the Premier League. This is the gulf between us and the rest of the Premier League in 2014-15 in terms of the quality of the teams, I think is huge. I think we're a better team. We were several years ago, we had an old team. But in terms of the quality of the teams right now in the Premier League, the standard is much, much higher.
Right.
And sometimes you've got to play to your level. And for me, Bryan is a championship fullback. And the first step is going to be babies. We've got to be able to, at least the first thing is hit the ground running and to be able to compete. Because usually you know things start really shaping about the Christmas time. But Scotty Parker, if he's here, does have some options moving forward. You know, I wouldn't be averse to putting Steven Sessegnon on there, if only because, you know, Dennis Odoi is obviously versatile. But
sure.
I would give, right now, at the moment, even though it's April, I'd say that Joe Bryan has the nod.
Okay. Max, over to you.
Yeah, I think this is also another no-brainer for me. The championship is a perfect area for Joe Bryan. He thrived there at Bristol City, and I think he'll thrive here with us next season. He's a very, very good championship player and a pretty poor Premier League one. And there's no shame in that. But that's what his level is. And I think he'll actually be really excellent for us there. He will be our kind of version of target, I think, in terms of someone who can get up and down the wing, put in some good services, but also is pretty dependable at the back. Because he won't be going up against a quality of attack like he did this year when he was found out in a lot of times. But let's not forget, last couple of matches, Leicester City won in particular, I think, he was excellent. So he's showing some promise at the end of the season. But next season, I think he'll really find his groove in the championship. And I'm not worried about any Premier League clubs coming in and poaching him because he's just not good enough for that division.
Okay. All right, Max, right back to you. think you're going to have some fun talking about the center backs. Let's talk about who would you start at center backs in the championship? Who would be part of the mix? Okay, we've got some interesting players here.
Yeah,
we have Maxime Lamarchand. We do obviously have Tim Ream still. And we have the big name is Alfie Mawson, who is coming back from injury. So let's talk about who would be your two center backs starting, and would there be anyone else that you would have as backups? Let's talk about the center back positions, because this is, again, if we're just talking about the Premier League, a major weakness, but you're going down a division. So what difference does it make when you go down a difference with some of the center backs we have? So talk about the two center backs.
Yeah, it all really hinges on what Mawson decides. And it's a tough decision for him, right? Because it's a second straight season he's been relegated. He's been injured for much of it. He hasn't really had a chance to influence it. But if I'm a Premier League team who just went up or someone else, I'm going to be a little skeptical about buying him because he's had these injury concerns now two seasons in a row. He's missed, you know, towards the end of the spring with a knee injury, I think. And I'm going to be nervous if I want to buy him for probably over £10 million, I think is what we'll ask for him. If a Premier League club wants him, I'm not going to pay that much. So I think he probably is going to stay with us. And if he does stay, he's probably comfortably the best defender in the championship. I'm going out there and saying it. He's a Premier League quality player who's fallen on tough times with injuries. But if he's up to full form with us, he's a massive asset. So I'm going to say he stays, and he will be a big part of a defense. And then who's going to go alongside him?
I think
the first choice has to be Ream, because although he's aging, I think he's, you know, early 30s, 32 now perhaps, he still is a reigning, you know, player of the year for us when we went up. The championship is definitely his level. We learned that this year. That's where he plays. That's his limit. And I still think, you know, his game isn't really based on that much pace. So he might lose that pace when he gets old, but he still has that really good reading of the game. And it's going to be a much slower pace of play, which suits Ream much better than the fast-paced Premier League. So I'm going to go out there and say Ream and Mawson are going to be my optimistic championship center-back partner.
Okay, very good. Over to you, Giannis. Who would be the pairing for you, and who might be backing them up? And it's very interesting because when you look at Alfie Mawson, and he might have interest from Premier League teams, just like he had interest from us, and we just have not seen the best of him. What drives me crazy about this is that I thought we started to see him emerge, and then he got hurt again. So if, you know, again, you're in charge of building this club, I'm putting in the shoes of Tony Khan. Who would be your center back pairing that you'd be focusing on, and maybe who would be a backup?
Well, before I start, I can't believe I'm going to do this, Ross. And Max is going to enjoy this. But in the words of John Sterling, your friend John Sterling, you know who
yes.
he is. Yes. Blue Jays win! Blue Jays win! Blue Jays win!
Thanks, Giannis. Yeah, I had to do that.
You know, this is a very interesting topic. For me, Alfie Mawson is going to stay and he's going to start simply because he's got a point to prove. Who's going to buy a car that has three wheels?
This is true.
I mean, right now, I mean, he's been down with two consecutive relegations. He's going to have, for him to go even consider going to any Premier League club, he's going to need to prove his fitness. And obviously, the next few weeks is going to be critical because, you know, he played for the U23s against the Blue Hooped Wonders. And, you know, maybe he might be close to match fitness. The other one, if he's fit, I would put Tim Ream. But I'm going to put a Tim Ream with an asterisk here because I was pretty pissed off with Ream at the start of the season. He was moaning about the changing room. And you know what? He was our best player last year, player of the season, no complaints. But there is a rule of thumb in professional sport is that when you've got issues in the clubhouse, keep it in-house.
Absolutely.
You don't wear your dirty laundry in public. And early on in the season, he was spouting off about the lack of professionalism of his teammates, and he's still going on about it. Well, Tim Ream got injured pre-season, I think it was through a concussion, and he will be hopefully the first one to admit he's had an absolutely dire season, dire with a double capital D. So he's not exactly endeared himself in terms of the potential performances, even though he's but the fact that he's the U.S. international captain now,
yes.
You would have thought that attitude reflects leadership, and I don't think he's demonstrated that. So he should have a point to prove, not just to himself, but to the Fulham fans. If we start with Mawson and and Tim Ringler in the middle will have the best centre back partnership in the championship next year. I strongly believe.
Okay.
And that would be my two. I mean, the others you could be looking at is obviously Dennis Odoi is versatile enough to play there. You've got a mistaken minute Marchand there as well. There's obviously two options. Dennis Odoi, we know about. But for me, it would be Alfie Mawson and Tim Ring, providing they're fit.
Okay. Giannis, you brought up a very interesting point when it comes to Tim Ream, because I didn't like what he's been saying. You know, I don't like that. I like you said, you keep it in-house. You don't let it get out to the media. I really don't like that. And that got me to really think about this, because moving forward, even though he was a player of the season, he was fantastic last season, and I think he can do a job in the championship. Once again, you just give me a little bit of pause here when it comes to him, because that really bothers me. And I would give that more of a look. I'm talking about what he had said moving forward. Max, what are your thoughts about this? Because, again, this actually really irritated me. I don't like players that do what he did in the media. I just don't like it at all. You keep that behind closed doors.
If you're playing well and you're a leader and you're also so clearly leading the way in terms of your performances, you get a little more leeway. But when you're playing like Tim Ream was in the Premier League, you're in no position to go out and call out fellow players, you know? So that's what really made me angry, is that you guys are totally right. Don't air the dirty laundry.
No.
If you have something to say, say it in the dressing room.
Absolutely.
If you say it in the public, all it does is, you know, give an impression that the team's in disarray, which is obviously true. They were. But we don't need that. Keep that inside. Don't let people know that. But also, he was terrible. He's been poor this season. He's been consistently a very bad defender. And if you're that bad, you have no high ground to go out and call out your teammates. You just don't. So keep your mouth shut and try to focus on your own performances before you go public and call out other players. That's what I say to Tim Ream.
Okay, very good. All right, guys, let's now look at the midfielders and let's see which players would be part of your full-on midfield in the championship. Let's just go basically, let's say it's a 4-3-3. Let's go with something like that with three in the middle. So we have plenty of choices here, guys, and players that actually have done well in the championship, and then you have players that, again, did not really live up to the billing in the Premier League, but would they be part of a championship team, or would you have to sell one, two? So, again, that's what's interesting about this. So, guys, I'm going to start with Max. Max, the midfield, let's call it a midfield three like we did under Savisa. There are several choices here. So let's talk about players like Tom Kearney, Seri, Anguissa, Kevin McDonald. So there are players here for us to really sink our teeth in and build your midfield. So let's build that three. Who would be your three, Max?
Let me just start out by kind of dispelling this myth about what I've seen a lot on Twitter about Andre Frank, Zambo, and Gisa.
Okay.
I don't know what people are smoking that they think this guy is going to play for us in the championship. I don't see any scenario where Anguissa is playing for us, you know, come August next year.
Okay.
Or at least is still on our books. This guy has – I've seen nothing from him that shows he wants to play in the second division in English football. I think he's shown a lot of promise towards the end of the season. But if I'm Anguissa, I'm not fancying this fight at all. I don't think he really cares that much about the club. It's his first year here. I honestly don't think why he would. You know, he's not like a loyal player. If an opportunity arises for him to be shipped out to Italy, Spain, France, a kind of a bottom half or mid-table team in any of those continental leagues, I think this guy's jumping at that opportunity and leaving as soon as he can. There's no way we're going to have Anguissa in the second division. I'm just going to say it right now. And if I'm wrong, listen, I'd love to be proven wrong, right? Because I think he'd be a very good asset in the championship. I think he'll do quite well. But I have no confidence that he'll stay with us. None at all. So I think we can totally write off Anguissa.
Okay.
Add it to that. Seri, gone. Can't wait to see the back of this guy. And this is not because I hate him. At the beginning of the year, I was one of his biggest fans when we signed him. I thought it was going to be a game-changing signing. And no matter how much you can apologize for this guy, the fact of the matter is we signed him from Nice to be a key player who controls matches, and I can't think of one game where he's actually shown his worth over 90 minutes, which is the only thing you can really ask for your center midfielder. So I'm glad he's gone. So that leaves us with McDonald. I think it's very clear he's staying. I think he posted on Instagram, like, we're going to make this right next season.
Okay,
probably the clearest indication that he's going to be with us. Kearney, no Premier League club is going to come knocking for him after this season. I think he'll stay with us too. And then I think, honestly, Johansson, he'll come back from West Brom.
Oh, I was going to mention that. You can factor in
Steph I'll factor Jones in him.
Because he actually has – I believe there's a club option on him.
Yeah,
so.
And I think they'll take that. But gives me a little pause about him. He's not exactly lighting it up, you know, at the Hawthorns. He's not he's not starting week in, week out. He's not a consistent starter. And West Brom, I mean, they're in the playoffs, but they're not exactly lighting up the league either. So I wouldn't say he's had a huge impact there.
Okay.
And then let's not forget Ibrahima Cissé, right?
Kind
of a wild card. No one's going to think about him, but he played two or three matches this season. The match I'm going to give the most weight to was the Arsenal match, you know, first half. Him and Kearney were actually quite good. And I was really surprised by the way he played. So maybe he's another option there. But if you'd have to ask me who's it going to be the first game of the season, I'd probably say the same three that got us up. And that's McDonald, Kearney, Johansson.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm glad that you mentioned Steph Joe, because I was going to talk about you can factor in loan players, because I truly believe that Fulham are going to do everything that they can to hold on to Steph Joe. This is just my opinion, because I've seen reports that other clubs might be interested in him. They think that they can get him. But Fulham, I believe, do have a club option on him. So that can be a game changer. So I expect Steph Joe to be back with Fulham next season in the Championship. And that wouldn't bother me if he was part of the club in the Championship. All right, Giannis, over to you. Who would be your midfield three next season?
Well, I'll tell you who it wouldn't be. Anguissa for a start. I agree with Max. And frankly, he's been he's had a few good performances, but a colossal waste of money for the money that we spent. Same with Terry. In terms of, Kevin McDonald, yes, he'll come back. Steph Joe, the one-year option, absolutely, you take it. Kearney has not done himself. He's not exactly endeared himself to the quality of the Premier League with his performances this year. So he'll be back. And it gives us a chance to look at players like, O'Reilly and
Del
Torre and Kite. And I think they're players who, especially O'Reilly, they excite me. And I'm hoping with these last five games, really, that the brass use it as a suitable audition to see, what these kids can do.
Totally agree, Giannis.
The good news is in terms of the contracts and the ability to sell players. Financially, we should be in pretty good shape next year to bulk up in terms of players who. Let's be honest. They're going to be good players. A lot of good players out there, and if for example fans are worried about the players that we might lose, if Norwich are walking the division right now, I think Norwich are going to be in no trouble in the Premier League. I really do. I mean, having a striker like Pukki might be great this year with Championship defenders, but when he goes up and he plays in the Premier League, I mean, Mitro was walking our league, and then he got he's gone up to the Premier League, and it's been very, very tough for him. So I think there's going to be money for us and resources for us to buy good players that can help.
Okay.
My starting three, Kearney will be in there. I think McDonald will be in there, probably a signing as well. I like Steph Joe because he brings a bit of thug life to the proceedings. and he pisses teams off. And I think that's a good thing. And I think the fans love him. And I think really after the season we just had, I think it's worth signing Steph just to appease the fans because he's a fan favorite, because you'll get an honest day's work from him. And I think that's something that will sit well with the season ticket holders and the general supporters. But as I said, I think it will be Kearney, McDonald, and another signing.
And another signing. Okay, excellent. Max, back over to you. Giannis brought up a wonderful point. And this is something I want to see in these matches left in the Premier League. I would not be against Scott Parker throwing out Luca Della Torre, and I'm going to say that, or throwing out Matt O'Reilly, especially Matt O'Reilly, who has so much promise. I like Luca Della Torre. I think that he has potential, especially in the Championship. So what are your thoughts about these two players in the Championship? Would you have them as part of the mix?
Yeah, I think it's a perfect opportunity to kind of breed them in. O'Reilly for sure, because he's the one where we've seen the rumors.
Yes.
That's linking him to Germany and other Premier League clubs or Championship clubs. So he's certainly attracting interest. And if we don't play him, he'll leave. So I'd love to see him get a run out. You know, not the, just the end of this season, but you're right. Start of next season would be great. And especially because, you know, these players are aging. You know, McDonald's, 30s, Kearney, Johansson, late 20s as well. You need that youth. And it's a, as we know, it's a 46-match season. It's grueling. You need a lot of rotation. And I think O'Reilly, De La Torre, two exciting attacking midfield prospects. Would love to see them in there as well. Also, Tayo Edun could slot in central defensive midfield as well. And that could be an exciting prospect. I remember we saw him against Derby towards the end, in the middle of last season in around November. So just another prospect for young players to get involved in the championship.
Okay. All right, guys. Let's now look at forwards. And I'm going to include Ryan Sessegnon as part of this mix. You can also talk about Niskens Cabano. And I also want you guys to factor in these players as well. You ready for this? Rui Font on loan. Abubakar Kamara on loan. Okay? It's time to talk about the strikers. Like, we are building a 4-3-3. We have Giannis' favorite player, Floyd Ayite, is part of the mix here to talk about,
oh,
along with Mitro. What was that, Giannis?
No, I said, oh, God. Oh, my God.
Okay, and listen, we have other players, as you guys know, Ryan Babel, Andre Schürrle, Luciano Vietto. So there are a range of players.
Are we going to forget Lazar Markovic?
I'm not even going to mention him. Okay?
Oh, what? He's been so good for us, guys. Come on, sign him up. 5-year contract.
Not even going to mention him.
He's Mitro's best mate.
Max, you're being very funny. All right. Giannis, I'm going to go to you first.
Yeah,
we're going to build this like a 4-3-3. Let's talk about the three, and I want you to factor in if you think someone like Mitro will be with us. So factor that in. Who would be the three at the top in a 4-3-3 in the championship?
Well, I'll go the reverse. Kamara will never play for Fulham again. I'm not sure he'll ever play in England again. Schürrle will never play in Europe again, so you can eliminate those two buggers. And Vietto as well, he's been an unmitigated disaster. Font has had a poor season in France, so that's not worked, even though he's going to come back. So Mitro, when my Fulham idol, Ivor the Engine Davis, said that Cess and Mitro will be back, that's good enough for me. They
okay.
will be back. So Mitro will, I say Mitro and Cess.
You're buying that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. In terms of living players, you know, outside George Cohen, I don't think there's a player that's more respected than Gordon Davis. I don't believe there is.
You don't think you think he knows something?
Yes, he does know something. And you know what? He has stayed remarkably close to the club for all these years. You know, even though he played for City, even though he played for Chelsea, he was a Fulham idol, Fulham favourite. And he has stayed very, very close to the ground. And if he says that he believes they're staying, then as far as I'm concerned, it's good enough for me. And so then that leaves the other one. Well, I think Cabano's race is run, in which case for him would be the three-legged horse race. And then the person that's got the initials FA, sort of apt to that, really, he's probably going to find a. He's probably going to be, I think, a squad member next year. I mean, he's played decent of late. I think that we'll be looking to bring at least one striker in. Gale, he keeps crying out at us, but you know, he's not good enough to play in the Premier League. He is good enough to play in the Championship. He fits our mold of striker in terms of the way that we play the game. If we keep Scott Parker, and I'm going to go back to this again, this is why I think we should keep him, because if you change a manager like Scott, even though it's on the interim, you run the risk of having a Felix or Claudio that comes in and changes what is the central core philosophy of this club, which is passing soccer. And Scotty Parker, as a former player, as a coach, and now as a head coach, knows the Fulham way. And that's the one big thing he has going for him. You've got a person who's drunk the Kool-Aid. And for that reason, I think you look at a striker like Dwight Gayle. And if you put Gayle, Micho and Sess up front in the championship, watch out. That is a nasty-looking threesome that can hurt you in many, many ways. So for me, my dream three would be Micho, Ryan Sessegnon, and Dwight Gayle. And I wouldn't put it past that we don't get Gayle goes back to Palace. I don't think that Roy Hodgson fancies him. And so I think there'd be a good chance of him maybe being loaned or maybe in terms of buying him. And we'll have money to spend.
We will.
That's not to say that we won't. And I think that he'd be a very good acquisition if we could get him.
Wow. So Giannis is already throwing out a name. He's going back to Dwight Gayle. I can't tell you how many times Dwight Gayle has been rumored with Fulham. It's not even funny. But I like that you went there, Giannis. Very interesting take there. All right, Mr. Cohen, your thoughts on the three up top. He has Sessegnon staying. He has Micho staying. I'm talking about Giannis. What are your thoughts about that?
I'm a little more pessimistic with regards to Sessegnon and Micho. I think Mitro's gone. I mean, I think there's no way he plays in the championship next season. Because I think he's one of the very, very few players in this team who's a Premier League player, right? I can't think of many others who we actually own permanently, not on loan, who actually are good enough for the Premier League. Mitrovic is probably the only one. So he'll leave, and he should leave. We shouldn't hold him back anymore. This guy is obviously playing for a top half of the table Premier League team where he can really score goals because he's a special talent, and I think that's what's best for him. So he'll go. There's no way he's going to stay at full. No way. Sessegnon is a different story because I don't think he's Premier League quality yet. He's not ready for the big top flight. But, you know, I can see a situation in which a club buys him for 40, 50 million, loans him back to us next season. So I'd say Sessegnon might stay. I'll put him in my front three. I'm going to say Kamara. He's going to come back, and he's going to be welcomed back. The player, Tony Khan, apparently
really
likes
him.
I think so. Listen, I'm the biggest Kamara fan, and let me tell you, it was a crisis of management that allowed that situation to fester. Claudio Ranieri has to take so much blame for what happened, because when Kamara came back into the side after the penalty incident, he said, listen, you're going to train with the under-23s. After the yoga incident, right? That's what happened. Mitrovic, Kevin McDonald went on Instagram and said, oh, you know, the store is blown up. Like, I think that was just a little scuffle. It wasn't anything major. But Ranieri totally overacted, 7-23s, and Kamara made a big mistake by going in and doing what he did at the training ground. But any other manager knows that Kamara is not a guy to be exiled. You put his shoulder around him and you console him and you give him confidence and he goes out there and plays. You don't want to push him to the brink of doing something stupid because he's a volatile person. At the end of the day, I think he's going to be amazing for us in the championship. He's a quality player. We saw what he did, you know, towards the end of last season. He's a big reason why I think we won that playoff final in his performances. And let's not forget, during the winter of this year, he was tearing it apart. Scored against Arsenal, played great against Wolves. You know, I think he is a very decent player, and people really give him a hard time, I think very unfairly. He will be excellent in the championship for us. Excellent. So we just need a center forward.
Okay, so who would you three centers, strikers.
Matt, I can't think of a striker along with Sessegnon and Kamara. Right now, we don't have a central striker. So I can only say two right now.
Okay, that's
you know what, Max.
Yeah, let's go.
Max,
go ahead,
Max. If Boo Boo comes back to Fulham, I will. Let me think here.
You'll get a Florida Ite jersey.
I will marry Sarah Brooks. How about that?
Listen, I'll make a bet with you. I'm very confident he's coming back, and I want him back. So I know that's not a very popular opinion, but I think that's going to be what's going to happen.
Okay. I tell you why I don't think he'll come back. Because if Boo Boo, when all this Boo Boo mania went on, okay, let's not forget who was sitting in the bench, and that was Scott Parker. Now Scott Parker, as a player, would never have wanted to see that. Let's not forget the Micho issue with that penalty kick. Okay. Now, as a player, he would have hated players that did that, number one. Number two, as an assistant coach, he saw basically what amounted to insubordination against the coaching staff that night. And obviously there was issues after the fact. The question becomes, a young manager that's about to start, will he want someone like him coming back in the fold? And my answer to that is no. There's no way. I think Scott would want players who he can trust. Because especially because of the season we've had, we can't have loose cannons on and off the footy pitch. He needs good, honest professionals you can trust. It can't be based on necessarily the potential, but players that will go out and give it an honest shift and do it in the concept of the team. Because Scott Parker was always like that as a player, and he was like that as a captain, and he was like that when he played for his country. And that's why I don't think Boobie will ever play another minute for Fulham.
Okay, very good. Very interesting discussion on Boubacar Kamara. All right, guys, let's finish up by talking about Scott Parker. Giannis, it sounds like you still want Fulham. We talked about this last week. You still want him as the manager. So let's talk about this. Make your argument, then I'll go over to Max.
I think managers start. I mean, they've got to start somewhere. I mean, he's been dealt a terrible hand in terms of the four games he had against Leicester City. You know, we were pretty poor. But then again, you know, got an equaliser, and then again, individual mistakes did us in. Against Watford, we went a goal down, we came back, didn't have a good second half. But not every manager is going to start off, you know, whirlwind. He's you know, these experiences in the Premier League build character, even for the youngest of managers. And Scott Parker's been through the middle and back as an assistant, you know, manager, as a manager now, as a player and as a captain. And I think that I believe the players like him, and I believe he's still got enough respect in the game as an individual, where very good players will come over. And I would actually even go a point further. You know, if you look at the English game in the last decade or so, you know, and you look at, you know, two of the greatest players that come out of Stevie Gerrard and Frank Lampard. But I would argue strongly that the teams, players that are looking for teams to play on at our level, would rather go and play for Scott Parker. Because I think the one thing that Scott Parker never had that those other two did have, even though one went to Derby and one went to Rangers, is baggage. You know, there was always criticism leveled in terms of the way they conducted themselves and controversies on and off the field with both those guys. But you could never level that against Scott Parker. He's a respectable man inside the game, and his coaching levels he has gained through really the philosophy that the FA is trying to promote, that you're really seeing in abundance with what happened with Gareth Southgate. And so, although the optics of the Leicester and Watford games weren't great, I have a lot of faith in this lad. I really do. I think he's a guy that can go very, very far, and I think the players will like him and respect him. And I think, because he's recently removed from the game and has a great pedigree, I think he can work some wonders. And I think it would be foolish not to take him, if only because of what could come in terms of changing the philosophy and idea of what Fulham Football Club is like in terms of the way we play the game.
Okay, so you're going with just continuing the Fulham way.
Yes, I do.
Okay, I understand where you're going on that, Giannis. You make a strong argument for Scott Parker. Max, how about you?
I want to like Scott Parker. I mean, I do like him, but he's not going to get us back in the Premier League. And we have to put sentiment aside when we're picking a man who's going to get us promoted. And I just have – I see no evidence that Scott Parker is that man. I've just not seen it. Because it's his first job. And he has something he wants to match. And it's not about him not winning, because he wasn't going to win most of these games. You know, 3 out of 5, he could totally write off. But I just don't see how he is going to motivate a team through a 46-match season in a league he's never managed in before. It's just not going to happen for me. And I want to see us not ditch Fulham values, because I think there is a way in which you can appoint a manager who's new and still has Fulham values. You know, the thought that pops to mind is David Wagner. This guy is in touch with the fans, plays, I think, nice football, and does things the right way. That's a Fulham guy, and seems an all-around very good guy, well-loved by the Huddersfield fans, even when he stepped aside midway this season. Sure. A person like him, who has a track record of getting promotion and also can adapt to the Fulham way, that's a win-win for me. And for me, Scott Parker has that Fulham style in abundance. That's what we love about him. But he has zero track record, and we just can't take the risk of someone so unproven, I think.
Okay. What's interesting about this, Giannis really does make a strong argument for Scott Parker. But my issue does lean towards Max, because, and I said this last week, I do look at that Watford match and the Leicester City match, and I know that he's going to get better over time, Giannis. I completely believe in Scott Parker, but I just cannot get the thought of Fitzsimons out of my head, and it's probably unfair to Scott Parker because they're different men. They probably have completely different philosophies on football, but I just want someone that has a little bit of a proven track record to get us out and get us back to the Premier League. This is really not about Scott Parker, again, not being able to be a great manager someday. I just think maybe it's just too soon for him. That's kind of where I'm going on it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you look at Frank Lampard. I mean, they're going to be borderline to make playoffs. I think it's a dicey line. I mean, you could say, well, I'm just throwing a name out there. You could say, well, Tony Pulis has great experience in terms of promoting teams and what he's done. You could say, Neil Warnock, you could say, well, Neil Warnock's experience of promoting teams is second to none. But I think that in light of the season that we've had, I think so much of what I think in terms of my reason to keep Scott Parker is the season we've had. I just think that we don't want kicking around footy. We saw that with Ranieri. I think we need to keep some semblance of stability as opposed to the managerial roundabout. And I think that it would be a good... I think it would be an act of good faith. And I hope it's done soon. I hope Tony Khan turns around and says, you know what, Scotty, we're going to let you have the last five games and we're going to give you a couple of years and we're going to give you the chance to help build this team. I think that would be tremendous confidence because then he can mold the team really in his own image and in the philosophy of Fulham. I'm very worried about if we change him just because it may be the sexy option is, well, let's get a Wagner in. But there's no guarantee that a Wagner would work at a club like ours. Whereas Scott Parker has played for our club, and he does know the philosophy. It's not going to take him time. He's here. He's right here. And he has that advantage over any other candidate.
Okay. Very good there. Guys, this has been a great show. I wanted to turn the page. I think we've started the process. Real quick on both of you, the teams that you built, the names of the players, if Fulham had those players going into the championship, what would be your level of positivity going into the championship? Of course, they're going to add other players. We know this. But, Giannis, first to you on a rating of 1 to 10, how confident would you be if the team that you built today was a good portion of it in the championship? What would be your confidence level?
Good. I think we'd make playoffs.
Okay.
I think I really do. I think we've got enough good seasoned professionals there. If we have a good head coach, we've got goal scorers defensively, we should be pretty good. And we'll have money in the bank through the contract and the parachute to upgrade. Yep. I think we'll be in very, very good shape.
Okay. Max, quickly over to you. Your team. What would be your confidence level?
Yeah, 3. The championship is such a crapshoot, such an unbreakable league. Look what's happened to Stoke. Look what's happened to Swansea. Even West Brom, with an amazing team, can't even make into automatic promotion. I just say, who knows? It's going to be a wild ride. And the league's only got tougher since we left it. And we know how tough it is to get up. I can't say I'm too confident. I will have to just wait and see, guys.
Okay.
Well, if Lazar Markovic plays, we win the Champions League next year.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, Lazar Markovic plays. I think we win every match by at least 6-0.
Okay, enough.
At least.
Enough. We shouldn't even be mentioning that guy. All right. Great show, guys. And again, I want to thank you guys for doing this show. We were considering doing a post-match show, but I wanted to move on, and I thought this would be a great way to finally turn the page. And we're going to be focusing, even though there are 5 matches left, on what is next for Fulham Football Club. For Giannis Shenaeus and Max Cohen, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.
Whether taking a road trip to the beach, heading to the mountains, or driving to the city, summer adventures are nonstop fun in a new Honda. But let's face it, summer trips can really add up. That's why I love the fuel efficiency of Honda. With Honda, you can save your money for other things, like that awesome keychain at the convenience store, that brand new album you wanted, or whatever else your heart desires. New Hondas are arriving daily. See your local Honda dealer and start your summer adventures today.
Now in paperback, pick up Seth Wickersham's It's Better to Be Feared, The New England Patriots Dynasty, and The Pursuit of Greatness. This New York Times bestseller and Sports Illustrated nonfiction book of the year is an explosive account of football's greatest dynasty from the ESPN reporter who's been there from the beginning. Bill Simmons calls it the definitive document of the Belichick-Brady dynasty, while Chad Finn of the Boston Globe deems it honest and beautifully written. It's Better to Be Feared by Seth Wickersham in paperback now.
It's the 90th minute, and all to play for at the end of the match. All your mates are around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? I know I'm in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.